la parola ad Aris Gazzar.
Buongiorno. I'm sorry that I will not speak in Italian, but my friend David will translate for me, so I'll try to go slowly.
Okay.
I'm happy to follow up on Francesca's very graphic account of Indian cities, and I'm also very pleased to be here in your beautiful and historic city of Bologna. And when I was invited by Professor Guerzoni, I wondered if there is anything that Karachi can say to Bologna. As I thought about this, I discovered that yes, there is something to say, and I want you to reflect on this, and maybe you can decide whether I was right or wrong. The question that Professor Guerzoni asked is about public space. And as I walk around Bologna, I can see that public space is very important in the way the city sees itself. The beautiful buildings and the piazzas, the public squares, that's really what is defining the city here. And even inside this building, there is a space which is called a piazza. So I take this challenge seriously, but first let me tell you a little bit more about my city itself. Okay, so first, of course, let me get through the numbers quickly. It's a very big city, a city of 13 million people. And it dominates urban life in Pakistan, which is saying a lot. But if you ask the Karachi story, it's really a story which starts in the 1850s. And it's a story of migration, it's a story of identity, and also a story of conflict. The biggest change that came was in 1947, when with the decolonization of India and state building in Pakistan, Karachi started playing a central role. So in the 1940s, the population of Karachi, it doubled or tripled within about 3 or 4 years. So a large number of, in the premise of nation building in Pakistan was that it's a country for the Muslims of India. So it's the national identity is around the question of religion. So a very large number of Muslims of India, they came and they took refuge in Karachi. But from then on, we have a big story of migration from other parts of Pakistan and from other countries in Asia. So much so that in Karachi now, you don't have a single ethnic group which is a majority. It's a city where you have 5 or 6 major ethnic groups of the whole region who can feel at home in the city. And this journey has not always been smooth. So we have periods of intense conflict also during this time. And especially in the 1990s, we have a lot of conflict, political violence, ethnic violence, and criminal violence. And it was a time when you could easily ask the question that has Karachi's experience of ethnic mixing, has it failed? Because if it has failed, then it is also a failure of the experience of migration and ethnic coexistence in many, many other countries and cities. So if it has failed, if we come to the conclusion that it has failed, then you have very hard questions to ask about what is happening today in Italy and in Bologna. But we have some reason to believe that Karachi has not failed. Because after the peaking in violence, after a very intense period of violence, Karachi came back. Karachi came back from the brink. And it picked up the pieces and it started life again. And now we have a bigger conflict in Pakistan, which you must be aware of. It is a conflict which threatens the very state and society. We have, on the one hand, religious extremists, and on the other hand, we have overextended imperial power. And Karachi stands in the middle, and it is a resource for peace. It rejects religious extremism in Pakistan. So extremist political parties, extremist demagogues, they find no support in Karachi. And it tries to live a cosmopolitan life which is anathema to the religious extremists. But to understand what happened in Karachi and what will happen, I think that we can look at how it has organized public space. So it's a very busy city and also very busy during a general strike. So I want to now go to the concept of public space, and I want to talk about public space as a public good. Now, the approach of economists to public goods is very different from that of urban planners. Yeah. And there are really two important things to understand. The first is that a public good is non-excludable by nature or by design. For example, if a city or a country has clean air, well, you cannot exclude anybody from consuming clean air. Now, the same thing applies to public goods, which are public goods by intent. So if you say that we are going to make a public piazza, it is by design, by intent, a place which everybody can use. So the second insight of the economist approach is that individuals or markets will not produce public goods.
Yeah.
And the reason is that if you cannot charge a price for using something, the market will not produce it. So if something is non-excludable by nature or by intent, you cannot charge somebody from using it. So this leads economists to say that to produce public goods, you must need a bigger authority, usually the state. Because economists say that you cannot organize collective action without higher political force. So which is why we have laws and which is why we have taxes. But we also know that communities, groups of people, they do produce public goods. But these public goods are very often for the community itself. For example, in Karachi, there are many religious communities which produce public schools for their own denominations. So that school can be used by anybody and they don't have to pay for it, but it is only for that denomination. So the concept of public good and community is defining each other. And this is something that, this is an important insight for us to understand how to look at public space in general and also in Karachi. So when Professor Gerzoni said, look at the original relationship in the consumption and production of public space, I wanted to look at Karachi, and then from Karachi I went to the rural area. So I wanted to see how rural communities which are outside Karachi, how they are producing different kinds of spaces. So I will give you a very stylized picture of how space is produced in the rural community. Now the village in the rural area in Pakistan is, at one level it is a closed space. But at the same time, it allows outsiders to interact with it. The most important division of space in the rural area is around sex or gender. And we don't have fences or gates or gatekeepers, but social norms, they act as gatekeepers. So what is important to know is that patriarchy, it produces spaces. But it also produces hospitality. So if this is the beginning of the village. So you have a space which is called a paro. This is where the houses are. This is where people live. It's surrounded by a fence of thorny bushes. But in every village, you have another space which is called autak. And this autak is a halfway house between the inside and the outside. Now when I populate it, you see that there are men and women. The red ones are insiders, they are people from the village, and the blue ones are outsiders, people from outside the village. So the space inside the paro, that is mostly a feminine space. And the space outside the paro is primarily a male space. Now, the otak is where the outsider males and the insider males, they can freely meet. And the importance of otak is that it is necessary and also a very valued feature of village society. And people take a lot of pride in hospitality at the otak. So if you arrive at the otak, then you will definitely be looked after. Nobody will ask you any questions and you can stay there for as long as you like. To look after strangers is a mark of honor in this system. But at the same time, it is important that inside the paro, the outside males cannot go. And if woman goes outside, then she symbolically is taking the pardo with her. And this is usually in most Muslim societies, this is known as the parda.
Yeah, the veil.
Now, why is all of this important? It's important because Karachi has grown very fast since 1947, very, very rapidly. At least 50% of the population, they live in localities which started life as irregular settlements. So the city keeps trying to catch up with what has already happened. The planning catches up with what has already happened, which means that the concept of citizenship or public goods which are produced for citizens, that is always catching up with other concepts of public goods. Now, we have some irregular settlements which are so secure that the property prices are very high in those places. And there are some which are being destroyed and evicted every year. Now, the difference between the one and the other is how strong the social networks are. So those migrants who have strong social networks, they are able to make their settlements secure. And all kinds of public services like transport, water, electricity, sewage, everything is being provided informally, which means that the original relationship of the rural area is being reproduced in the city. Because the social network is playing important role in how the city functions, the social norms of the rural area are also coming into the city and dominating. Which means that we can no longer talk about public space versus private space. So we have to think about a gendered division of space, and we have to talk about patriarchy, but also we have to talk about hospitality. Now, of course, the city is also producing pure public spaces, like main roads, parks, and markets. And these spaces are spaces which are designed to be used by everybody. And the relationship there is exactly the one that you would have in a city like Bologna. But because the social norms are dominant from the rural areas, the city also has to make concessions. So here you have a reconstruction, symbolic reconstruction of the village fence, the veil on the public transport in the city. But also some barriers are coming down. Now, this is a typical scene in the evening in a public space in Karachi, a cafe serving food and people sitting outside. But you will notice it's dominated exclusively by men. Here you have a takeover of a street for a religious event, for a concert, for a religious concert. And here is an interesting, it's a public piazza where you have separate seating for families only. So you have this concept that the piazza can also be divided into a family space and a space for everyone. This is symbolically something like the autark in the old city of Karachi. So men can meet here, they can receive guests, and strangers can come, and this is a completely open space for male strangers. Now, just next to that same place is an inner street in the old city, which is reconstructing the concept of the pardo. And this is where outside males will not come, and women can freely inhabit the space. Now, here you have men sitting there with young children, and this is just next to a public highway. And it's very hard for me to decide whether this is a public space or a private space. Now, you have the city government, which is producing spaces for citizens, but now, as I said, it pays attention to social norms. So the city government has produced this very beautiful park. It's a public park, but it is only for families. They say it's a family-only park. So we are the city is reproducing a gendered division of space. Of course, we don't know if all of the men and women who are using this park, they are family. This is a couple on a date, so they are not yet family. Of course, if I try to go in this park with a male brother or cousin, male cousin, I will not be allowed. So it's not really families, it's a space where you are trying to create a family atmosphere, that's all. My favorite in Karachi, which is I think the closest we have to pure public space, is the urban beach. It's about 10 kilometers long, and it is where people, all kinds of different people, men, women, family groups, non-family groups, they come and they can use the space together. So what does Karachi have to say to Bologna? The first is that there are many ways of constructing space that are not binary between public and private. The second is that spaces and communities, they construct each other. So you don't have spaces happening separately from communities. Communities are making spaces and spaces are making communities. The third is that hospitality, which is a very strong feature of Pakistani society, and which you probably observe in Bologna also. I saw it myself. When I meet Pakistanis in Bologna, they immediately want to help me as a Pakistani in a strange city. So that can be very puzzling to other people, that people who are complete strangers, they can open up to each other because of hospitality. But it's not all good with hospitality, because at the core of hospitality in Pakistan is patriarchy. And finally, things change all the time. The city is bringing in people, it is diluting them, it is also remaking the tribe. And here is a very nice example. You have on this urban beach a new tradition, which is that people come with ghetto blasters and they dance, young men dance. And you have some Bengali boys and they're dancing to Balochi music. And this is so these new identities are also being produced in the same city. Thank you very much.